problems you see with it, Chad, or anything? Everything caught up on it?
Yeah, there's a little bit up here. I think they finished some road work that we may need to go out and take a look at. So I'm gonna hold the class till we figure that out, but it's covered, or it's covered by bonds or inspection.
Maybe we should ask Karen if she has anything. Okay, anybody have any questions on this PRD? Jim? You need anything from us, Chad, as far as voting?
Yeah, we'll vote on this guy.
Need a motion?
I'll make a motion we approve the plat.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved.
There's one other, this is the one I just handed out before the meeting. I was off last week when this came in, so I didn't get it in the packet. This is just a single lot, and it's up at North Camp. Apparently, this was a lot that kinda got missed in between some of the other sections. This is another one that has preliminary approval of 175 lots. They've been submitting different sections, so this is just for lot 67.
Any problem with this? How'd you miss a lot?
Seven, in North Camp or North Camp Ridge?
Yeah, North Camp Ridge.
It must've been in the trees, right?
It was in between some of the different sections, in between section two and section three, I guess.
Anybody have any concerns with this? Motion? Motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved. That it for that?
That's the last PRD one, and then we have just a regular subdivision. This one's in the Kennedy Business Park. This one should be in the package. So if you remember, we did a lot out at the end of the road, the other end. This one's at the far end of the cul-de-sac. It's a lot, the county commissioner developed this property in the Kennedy Business Park. So the road is built, it's a county road. Infrastructure's in place for this.
Anything on this?
No, I'm pretty sure the entrance is okay. That's the last thing. We'll just make sure that all the entrance, everything is finalized and we'll release the plat.
You need action on this, or?
Yes, it'd be just a preliminary and final approval of a major subdivision.
I need a motion.
Approved.
So moved, second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved. Zoning appeals case.
We have two this month. They're both variances. The first one is applicant Barbara Kite. She has applied for a variance to allow the construction of a deck to within 0 feet of the rear property line to within 4 feet of the side property line. The owner has purchased the buy-down from the state of Maryland. The property is located on 2763 Lakeshore Drive. Tax map 58, parcel 6, and is zoned LR1.
I'm just trying to follow.
It was a big packet this week.
All right. Anybody see anything on this one? Chad, do you have anything you think of? Deb, anything you don't need? Anybody have any opinions on?
I got the line down, so. Say pass it down.
Sound good?
No comment?
Send it on down, yeah.
Alrighty. The second one is an application from Raymond Ferguson. He has applied for a variance to allow the subdivision of an existing parcel into 4 new lots with a minimum lot area of 1 acre each. The property is located at 371 Piesel Road, tax map 42, parcel 28, and is zoned LR2. The applicant is requesting the variance for the minimum lot size requirements. The ordinance requires a minimum lot area of 2 acres in LR2.
Is this where we're having trouble with? There was mobile home issue, what is that?
Chad is familiar with this one.
One single family home and maybe 2 mobile homes on that property already. So 3 dwellings, they want to create lots around the 3 existing
around
dwellings and then have one other lot. New lot that doesn't have any houses on it.
You see any problem with this part?
Well, it's LR2, so it's 2 acre minimum lot size. They're asking for a variance from that lot size to create that additional lot.
Anybody have any concern with this? You want a notation or a... Speak now if I hold your peace.
Hold my peace. Pretty good variance.
No comment on that one either?
Okay, send it on down then.
All right. Those will be forwarded to the zoning appeals board then.
Okay, moving on to the comprehensive plan discussion.
Before we get handed over to Chet, I'd like to go over with you, in your packet, I did send you the comments, and as per our previous discussion, all comments are posted on the website. There were three of them that I received in writing. These were all via email this time, and they are all posted at this point in time. But also, some of the comments that were given to me during the session, the last open house, one was a request to add an acknowledgement of the Eastern Continental Divide. Another one was, and I tried to write this one down word for word, the comp plan needs to include language that prohibits fracking as a permitted land use in Garrett County that's consistent with current law. And the third comment was to, somebody suggested that when we look at challenges around certain issues to identify conflicts between stakeholder groups, and the example they gave was if there's a challenge surrounding a water resource, that we should have an acknowledgement in the comp plan of when there's various stakeholders that have interests in said water resource. So those were comments that were received the day of the open house that I wanted to make sure you guys were aware of. Okay. Any questions on the comments you received, or have you been able to go to the website and see how I've posted that, and is that okay with you?
Did you see anything that you got issues with, or?
No, I was pleased with when everything was done. I have additional comments that we recorded during the open houses.
Right.
We'll be part of the public record.
I think I know that some of the people who are here today for the meeting were at that public hearing or public meeting yet last time, so. Is there anything you need to discuss and bring up now, or do you want to?
I was going to talk a bit about the next one.
Okay. Let's finish up with this one first, and then we'll go to that one, if that's okay.
Yeah, I wanted to see if you had could give a general overview of the last two open houses and things you've heard and that kind of thing before we talked about the next one.
Sure. Yeah. The last open house, well, the last two were thriving economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sustainable environment.
Sustainable environment. And so the sustainable environment open house was, both of them were fairly well attended.
Right.
The last one was I think really successful, the economy one. But going two back, the environment open house, we heard a lot of concerns about fracking and some of the issues that you all have discussed over the past 12 months. So I don't think there were a lot of surprises, but we had a number of stations set up for anybody that wasn't able to be there, where we discussed specific topics and had maps up that people could look at and record specific notes about anything in particular that they were there to talk about. So we have all that recorded. So the way that the process is moving forward, we'll take any of the actual comments we received are being recorded along with an emphasis. Some people for a lot of these open houses have said, yes, I agree with what she said. And so we've got different kind of priority levels for the comments that were recorded. So that'll be part of the public record for that open house, as well as mapping that shows any specific locations or particular pinpoints that we need to focus on as the recommendations are developed as part of the plan. So going back to the last open house, the thriving economy one, we really looked at kind of the generators for the county, the industrial parks, the growth areas where things might need to look for the year 2040 as we're projecting out, and talked a lot about things like, we looked at a combination of what used to be mineral resources into an overall energy category this time around, that captures just about everything, including natural gas, solar, wind, a lot of the ridgetop issues that people have been talking about, and we're able to move forward with that. Like I said in the beginning, I think that it was well attended. We did get the word out more for this last one somehow, so we've gone back and tried to look at that. We did boost a little bit more of a presence on Facebook this last time around, which I haven't actually done before, but it seems like it was successful in terms of getting people out. As people had come around to the different stations, we kind of asked off and on, how did you hear about it? What was the impetus for getting here? And that was one thing, other than word of mouth was the other one, which is always nice. So that's kind of a recap.
Okay, well, how are the drafts coming along, and what's the process going to be for the draft document?
So I think the drafts are coming along. The environment section is coming along quicker than the others, just because it has had a little bit more time between then and now. But the drafts are coming along. We're hoping to get those available for coordination with the state over the next probably month. We really want to get this last open house out of the way next week, and then we're going to really jump in hard and get the drafts ready. I think that at this point, there's not a whole lot of questions out there in terms of what's required, what we need to do. It's just a matter of kind of squaring away the public engagement, the initial public engagement phase, and taking all that and synthesizing it into a draft document.
So you think the draft document ready by what, December, January?
Well, I think we need it by November is what we were hearing from the state, but we're still trying to work through that in terms of what the
requirements are. Yeah, that's what I knew that's what they wanted. I'm just saying, I didn't know whether you're going to have, with the other public hearing, 10th, which is Monday.
Right. I mean, that's the goal, is to have it ready for the state to look at, so that it can be in the process for the end of the year.
And I want to distinguish between when he says the state is talking about the Department of Planning and our regional planner, is going to help us out and do some initial reading of it to catch any big things that we might have missed, so he can say no. That's separate from the state clearinghouse review that happens after you've had your public hearing on the draft document. Okay.
Thank you. Like I said, if anybody, I'm not supposed to do this, probably, but if anybody has any comments on what happened at the last, what we just talked about here, go ahead and listen to a couple of them if you want. Anybody have anything? What do you think of the format of the?
Looking at me today, so I figured. the one thing that was a little surprising just now was to find out that because I mean I went through all of them, and if it was already written down, I didn't see any sense for me to rehash that or go over it. But to find out that there's emphasis being added by those that ended up restating those, kind of is surprising. I think we should let people know that if you agree with this, let's put a check mark there, and that will be emphasized when we take it to the notes section. Because I didn't realize that would be the case, or else many of us would have gone back through and said, yes, we do agree with these, in that type of order, or however it was done. Other than that, the process has been open, has been pretty good. It's a little, with you guys, or with the stations, it's a little hard when there's a larger group there to do a one-on-one on trying to get some of the information. But other than that, I think it's been pretty open and pretty good.
Any other comments?
I just have a question. In terms of the engagement part, I am glad to know that the plans are continuing to have the public session after the draft is done. There had been several people who had floated the idea of having one before sessions are done. Will there be a public session to kind of talk about the review, what's going to go into the draft, what the next step is?
What we're planning at this point, Judy, is to, he's going to be working on the draft. We're going to be working with MDP, and he's going to get something to present to the Planning Commission. But before it goes to the Planning Commission, it will go out to the public, just saying, here it is. And when they review it, they want to have a public session as well. So when they get the draft, then everybody else gets the draft as well a couple weeks prior, and then they'll have an opportunity for the public to comment.
So it'll be after the draft?
After he makes the draft, yes. After AECOM creates the draft.
Thank you.
Yes.
So if you've got something on your mind or aren't an issue, you need that now.
Yeah.
For the draft.
Come on Monday.
Hear it now.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay, moving on to the new section, the prime population open house.
Sure. The I am just passing out a general outline for what the format of the open house will be and the staffing situations and all of that, just for your general information. So the components of this open house kind of wrap up all of the previously referenced chapters of the plan. And we're going to focus this time on population projections. It's going to be one station. Another station is going to be housing. And the last station will be facilities and services. So some of the topics that have been proposed, some were priorities in the 2008 plan, but others we have heard and collected through the workshops that the Planning Commission has held since 2016 to kind of highlight some of the things that we want to discuss. For housing in particular, we're going to talk about potential topics like affordable housing, housing for the elderly, and then the availability of different types of housing, so the variety and mix in different locations within the county. We also want to look at using mapping for the housing station to kind of start to identify areas where people think there might be more of a need versus kind of a saturated situation. So that's kind of the hope for housing. And obviously, other than the three topics that I addressed, we'll be looking for information from the public and those in attendance to see if there's anything else that is really a burning need to highlight in the plan outside of what's already there. Facilities and services section, there were a number of things that have been highlighted by the Planning Commission that we're going to start with, again, to be supplemented by public comment. So the things that we have highlighted already are the declining school age population, long-term funding for education, workforce development, fire and emergency services, public safety, health care, solid waste and recycling, libraries, and then different types of community lands like parks, trails, and then to a lesser extent, lake access. And again, we're going to look at two-pronged approach, mapping as well as comments. So looking at these topics as well as others, what do people feel are important? What are things that we really don't need to talk about possibly? And then locations and identifying areas of the county where more emphasis needs to be placed. So similar in process to the other open houses if you were there in terms of the way it's going to function. And then I left open the option of doing the Y Plan station again. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really successful last time, so we can certainly make plans to do that.
Okay. Karen, that's all you
did. Yeah, I just have something that, you know, I missed the last session. I called in to see what time it was on Tuesday, and it was open, but on Monday, so that's how my schedule goes. But in case I don't make it, I just would like to mention and see if it can be woven into that. I think that we have I know that we have inadequacies with housing for people with disabilities and in your other facilities there. I mean, I'm just thinking that's something I think that should be added there in the housing. But then in facilities and public facilities, yes, we have ADA, but sometimes, I mean, I've been at zoning meetings when questions come up, and if they have, there's sometimes an opportunity to do something a little bit more. And we have an aging population, and many of us are now dealing with people with disabilities that we didn't think about 30 years ago. And I think the more facilities, the more public places where people can go and that we can, you know, encourage everyone to get out is important.
Quick question. I'm curious if on the 2040 population issues, are you going to assume a constant growth in what is going to be starting, or look at various growth patterns given the changes that are happening?
I'm still trying to determine exactly what's happening on Monday in terms of how it's going to be presented, but we will be looking at a number of different scenarios.
Because I see everything possibly changing. And, you know, even the population dynamics would be dramatically different. And I was curious for that open house in particular, if there'll be various scenarios out there that we can look at and respond to.
I hope so.
Anybody else? Anybody on the commission? Bruce?
So under housing, we should talk about the homelessness issue in the county.
Jimmy?
Getting back to Kenny's saying, we looked at the population since last time we did the plan, basically zero population growth. I think it's more of a dynamic change, not a population growth. I don't see any spurt.
Well,
that's just a comment.
Jeff, historically I would agree, but I think with climate change, whether you believe in it or not, this is a desirable area in terms of temperature and nighttime temperatures, and I could see a move. I could see shifts, particularly if sustainable economic development occurs. I don't know if the history will repeat itself as much.
Great
question.
This is the kind of information we'd like to collect on Monday as well, mm-hmm. So hopefully you're able to come. I will note that the time has changed due to public comment went from the last one. It's 4 to 7 now.
4 to 7, yes.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully some folks are able to attend after work that weren't able to last time.
And that's Monday.
Well, it's this coming Monday. And I would encourage all the Planning Commission members to come if you can, especially Jelly, since healthcare is your field. It would be lovely to have you there. Tony made it into the paper last time. It was great.
Oh, yeah, I was like, yeah.
I would certainly send someone to represent healthcare. I will be in Denver.
Oh, yeah. That's don't want to hop on a plane and get back just for that. Okay, that would be good.
Location?
Same place.
Same college. College room 111.
The other thing, we talk about elderly under housing, but we don't really talk about it anywhere else, like the facilities and the services. So that's another thing that I think would be beneficial for us to add under the last one, number 4. Mm-hmm. What services are available.
Liz, do you have anything to add?
I don't.
Debbie? Chad? Anything else? Thank you for coming over. I guess we'll see you Monday the 10th.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. The next one. Order of business is the...
You have, it's the zoning amendment discussion. We actually have, after not having many zoning amendment requests, we have 2. And they both revolve around signs. So I'll give you a little bit of history on it. The Zoning Appeals Board did discuss it a little bit, and they sent you a letter that is in your packets as well. So the first one on temporary signage came about because, as you may or may not know, our zoning office is complaint-driven. We simply don't have the staff to drive around looking for violations, so we do not. And we respond to complaints. And if somebody says, we think somebody is in violation, then we will go look and see if they are or they're not. If they are, obviously, we send a violation notice. So we received a complaint about 12, I think, businesses and their feather flags. Does everybody know what I'm talking about when I say feather flags? They're the tall ones that flap a little bit in the wind. So we looked at it, and the way we have to look at feather flags is there is no separate definition in the zoning ordinance for temporary flags, unless they're like real estate is handled separately, political banners are handled separately. So things like feather flags and banners and sandwich boards, they're all temporary flags, but they are considered signs under the definition of sign in our ordinance. So what we had to do when we looked at these places is determine, do they already have a permitted sign on that property? Are they allowed more than one? And you know, when you add in the temporary signs, the feather flags, the sandwich boards, that sort of thing. Well, we only looked at feather flags because that was the specific complaint. When you add in the feather flags, are they in violation of the number of signs they are allowed? So most of them were in violation, and so we sent them out a violation notice. One of the people in violation, he's not here right now, but he's running late. Okay, Mr. Lascaris came to a commissioner's meeting to request that the violation not be followed through until he had a chance to create a request for zoning amendment to allow temporary signs. So what you have in your packet is his request. So basically it would add a definition of a temporary sign. And so those things that I mentioned, these include but are not limited to feather flags, banners, and sandwich boards. It's a separate definition for temporary as opposed to a permanent sign. It would also add under the use section that temporary signs advertising a commercial business on the property upon which it stands would be permitted no more than one per 100 feet of road frontage, and such signs will be on display only during business hours. So that is his proposal to allow that. And before we get into a discussion on that, we also have a separate one for LED signs. And that came up because an applicant came in to get a permit for an LED sign and could not get one under the standards in our ordinance. And one of the things that was brought up, and this is what his request was, the owners of Keylock, you're here, right? Okay, I haven't met you personally, I don't think. You've been dealing with Chad. His proposal would change the LED section, and one of the things that he has stated is that technology has changed since that section of the ordinance was written, and there's some doubt that you can actually get a sign that follows the standards in our ordinance, that they don't make them that way anymore. So one of the things that is interesting, not only that you've got two of these at one time after not having many amendments, and is that they're both on signs, and we have previously stated that the entire sign chapter will need to be rewritten. One of the things that I've always said to you is that the comp plan process is such that recommendations come up during it, and inevitably what we end up doing after a comp plan is altering our ordinances, not just the zoning one, but many of our ordinances to implement what comes out of the comp plan. So we would be looking at this anyway. Another statement that I have made to many of you is that there is a Supreme Court ruling that will affect our signage, the way we look at on and off premise signs. So when we rewrite it, we have to include that as well. One of the things that I've always said is I'd like to do it all encompassing all at one time and just look at it all at one time, but we've got a pending violation and a pending permit here to deal with. So this is why this is before you now. One of your tasks as a planning commission is to think not on a site by site basis, but the way you've always thought about signs in the past is holistically. So what we approve for one, you have to approve for all. So if you're looking at a corridor and you approve this, like this person's gonna have two, then what if all of them have two? And those are the kinds of things you have to look at, the viewshed of the entire watershed when you look at signs. And that's what makes signs very difficult. I don't care where you go. No zoning office loves the sign chapter. Everybody hates it. It's a difficult one. So let's dive in. Jimmy's not here yet. What we can do is let the owner of Key Lock state his case for you, if that is okay with you. Go ahead.
I don't know how many of you know our neighborhood house. Several of you do. I've recognized multiple ones of this. What I've been doing, I started Key Lock about 20 some years ago. And in the process of Key Lock, most people I find out don't know what I do and don't know where I'm at. We do so many different facets of security and different projects. Whether it's an access control system, whether it's a camera system, whether it's car keys, whether it's house locks. Karen talked about ADA stuff. We do things with ADA requirements and so on like that. So one of my huge problems has been to communicate what we do in this county. And we also just recently moved the location again. And just putting the name up still doesn't help me much. Being able to communicate the different services we provide, whether it's a safe, alarm system, or whatever, is what my goal is in trying to communicate that. A lot of people say, well, advertise the Republican. Honestly, I got a feeling that most of you guys never read the Republican. And a lot of people out there never read the Republican. So I'm trying to figure out how the best way of marketing our company so I can support the four families that's on the payroll and to be able to help the community and strengthen our company at the same time. Now, I'm not asking to do this in some facet that is not classy or reasonable. I'm just trying to look at the technology that's available, use it to the best of its ability. And from my understanding of the LED sound section now, technically, you guys could go after one or a few others for not following the rules, Raleigh Realty, etc., the way they're written. And I'm just hoping that we can take a next step, and that covers everybody, and everybody's in good shape.
Thank you. Does everybody understand what we're looking at as far as?
What kind of sign are you looking to put up?
I was hoping to put a 4x8 LED sign that would have not quite TV picture quality, but pretty close. Something like Southern High School has, Webco has, and put that up there so that we can just do a change of an ad regularly. Like one time we have a safe ad for different types of safes, was home safe or gun safes. The next time it would be an ad for alarm systems or cell phone boosters or automotive keys, access control system. I mean, the courthouse didn't even know that we did access control systems, which, you know, is being used more and more. Most people don't know we do camera systems, and to be able to put that up there, as well as to say, you know, Thanksgiving's come up, say thank you for everything that you've done for us. I mean, without our customers, we wouldn't be in business. And we just want to be able to, you know, to communicate with the customer and to portray portray what we do so that we can grow as a company and keep operating.
We tend to divide and conquer in our office, and Chad's been dealing with the LED sign issue while I was dealing with the temporary one, so if you have anything to add.
Yeah, just that the sign that he had proposed, I think I put the existing regulations in there. So the issues would be his existing regulation. I think these were written about 2007 when we amended the ordinance. That says all such signs limited to a single collar, so that kind of precludes any type of TV screen type sign. And then the illuminated portion can't exceed 25% of the total area. So I think when these were written, it was probably the idea to have that little bar that just said, you know, eggs on sale or something. Now technology has changed so that you have the bigger TV screen. So these, it's really hard to take a sign proposal like that and make it work with these existing regulations.
Just an overview of process when it comes to text or zoning amendments. You recommend to the commissioners have the final say. You may hold a separate public hearing on amendments, proposed amendments. The commissioners must hold a public hearing before they decide.
We need to look at them on a case by case, so we need to look at the amendment, the LED separately from the temporary sign, so we need to do two separate.
Can do that.
Okay, let's go with the LED sign first. Anybody have any comments or concerns about it? Did everybody read through this or have a chance to look over it a little bit?
Great detail, but the existing definitely needs updated. We'll do something.
I'm asking you this from the other board that you're on. What was your discussion about at that point? Do you feel like this code is inundated?
Well, I just read, I wasn't at the last meeting, but I read the letter that they sent you, and I think it's obviously an issue that's pretty complex and needs some consideration. I mean, the original ordinance was written with a lot of thought, and it might be outdated, but you know, I think there's a lot of issues, a lot of sides of that to be discussed. I don't know, it's going to be a little tough. It's going to be a lot of different inputs.
I know the sign issue has been contentious all the way from when we put the one in Arrowhead, the LED at Arrowhead, and that was one of the signs that could do all kind of things, and you know, it only does what the code called.
I mean, to hear Eric talk, it doesn't sound like he wants to do anything different than these electronic billboards. So,
right.
I mean, there's got to be a...
Right, so I mean, there's not right.
There's some false needs to go there.
Bill, what's your take on?
Well, I've thought this for a long time that the digital sign when it came in was just like a thing a lot of people had an issue with because it was new and it was different. And quite frankly, the old ones look like crap, and at this point we need updated, and we've wanted to, you know, personally, we've wanted to update ours forever and just go, well, you know, if we're going to just put something out there that looks as bad as the one you mentioned, the Ready Realty a couple minutes ago, or one at the one rental office, looks horrible. But it's because of the quality of the sign, because there's no reason to invest in a nice one. You know, but at the same time, while we're doing this, you know, the whole height restriction thing down there needs looked at too, because when, you know, you've got those four-lane highway thing down there from McHenry down to the main bridge where the signs now are virtually unseeable because of the trees and stuff because of the new regulation of the 20 feet, while all the old signs that are out there are 30 and 35 feet that you can see. And it's just not viable. It's not a good thing to attract new businesses to come in, you know, because you really just can't get your, so that's what's causing all the feather signs and everything else, is you can't get your signs high enough to see them as it is. So you're going to keep having people doing the feather signs and the sandwich boards and everything else until, and I know it's tough and it's going to take some time, but it does need addressed because it's not working. That's right.
Shelly, you have anything?
This is out of my area.
Jim? Liz?
I just think we need to look at all of it again. I don't think I have enough information to even begin to have an opinion on a lot of it. But I think a lot of it is outdated and it needs reconsidered.
I just remember going through the aesthetic. The aesthetic zoning has floated around for a long time with the signing and the height of the sign and the, you had to have this and had that. I mean, just like anything else, I mean, this is basically old news in a sense, and times have changed and different necessities right now. So I really believe it is something, I agree with Bill in a sense, that we need to look at with a broad brush and take care of a few things that are out there at this point. That doesn't solve your problem today.
No, I moved a year ago and I still haven't got a sign.
Right. But I really believe, I'm like what Liz did, I think it's something that needs to be looked at in a little more detail. But I'm saying something out of, you know. Ted, Chad, you deal with this stuff all the time. More than, what do you think it needs to be addressed in this situation?
We're not allowed to have opinions. Come on. We're just staff.
I mean, it's, you know, businesses want to have signs, other people want to protect the aesthetic thing, so it's, we're kind of in the middle of those two things. The technology has definitely changed with LED signs, so it does make it very hard to administer those regulations that I think were written with a different type of sign in mind.
You want to try to, as a planning group, do you want to try to put something together that we can look at in next meeting, or do you think we ought to try to take action on these, or what do you propose?
Would you prefer to look at the chapter
I mean, that's what I'm getting from everybody, is they want to take time and look at it as a whole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, I think if you're going to try to deal with, I think what he's bringing up needs dealt with in a big way, but also think if you're going to do it, if you're going to take a look, I think everything should be looked at. You know, because it's clearly certain. You know, there's certain regulations that were put in for certain signage that are clearly being abused by the fact of creativity, things like that. And I just think it needs to look. I think it's important in a lot of ways. I personally would, you know, don't want to see 45 feather flags out there along the roads all over the place, and we're guilty of them. But you know what? My partners are of, hey, you know, our sign's now blocked by trees.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to stick feather signs up, or whatever else we can, make sure people know we're there. So,
right.
I'm ready. Let's go.
So what I'm hearing is we want to.
You want to look at the whole chapter?
Deflect this and then look at the chapter as a whole. I know that if you can give us a little time, I think it's a better fit or a better fix for this whole thing. I think it's even the case with the temporary sign, because I think that's something that really needs to be looked at hard.
What about the man-walking signs?
That's hard to regulate.
We just need to dress them.
Maybe I should talk to a lawyer about that, because I've been told that's hard to regulate.
Are we allowed for public comment?
Yeah, I'm going to get
I would think there's a balance between Columbia, Maryland, where they have no signs, and you can't even tell where a whole plaza is. It's blocked by trees. And then the other side is your Branson, Missouri, where you have signs galore coming into it, like Las Vegas. So there's a balance that you have to work out.
That's what I remember about the aesthetic zoning. I think you're involved in some of that. I know from my other side of this, the aesthetic zoning thing came up because Gody Hilton had probably a lot of places where you're gated communities, that's all aesthetic zoning is, the signs are all down low, the trees are grown up around it. And when you're like trying to find a restaurant, you run into, you know, you have a hard time finding. But the reason for that is to look, trying to create a decrease. And I don't think that Bill was suggesting we want to have a 90-foot sign in front of Bradley Realty. I don't think that's at all. I think we just need to look at total package, not only to look like Las Vegas either. I mean, mean, that's very important, but I agree that we need to look at it from the whole perspective, the temporary signs, existing signs, you know, and things like that.
And I guess the question is, you said you had any... There's a lot that needs to be looked at in that chapter.
Yeah, the situation where somebody was getting, was charged with violation or whatever, can that be deflected until we get this resolved? Okay.
Do we need to make a motion or anything like that? On the,
How do you want to handle that?
The violation that's in play right now, to leave it stand until...
Yeah, do not follow through with enforcement until after the sign section is revisited. What I can do for the next meeting is come up with changes that can be made to the sign section, all the various areas that need to be looked at, the temporaries, the LEDs, the height, the on and off premise issue, anything else.
Size.
Colors, blinking.
Yeah, there's a lot.
You can't have anything too big, and I don't...
There's a lot. So we'll set aside a section at the next meeting for that. I do highly recommend, if we're going to dive into the whole chapter, that you be prepared for public hearings. That is an option for you, but I highly recommend that you do public hearings, especially on this chapter.
Any other comments?
I just want to thank you for bringing it up and, you know, bringing it to the commission so that we can address it. Because we do absolutely want new business. We want your business to succeed, clearly. And so we need to create something that everyone, mostly everyone, wins, right? That's the goal. So thank you for bringing it to us.
Jim, sure. I saw you came in. If you have something to say, Jim?
Jim, do you have something else?
Well, sure. Not really. I mean, it all started with just one complaint, basically. I mean, I don't see where there was abuse of it on Deep Creek Lake.
Karen?
Well, I'm not sure what the process is, whether it's just this office, the Department of Planning and Land Development, working on that. But I would think, while you're looking at that, having a coalition of some business people and real estate people and so forth working with you might help the process rather than it just being the thoughts from those people in the office.
Yeah, I was telling Debbie one time, and heavily legislated, we had a change of heart. If you want to look at the side, you know, look at the legislation. Mm-hmm. I was on a commission one time to get enabling legislation.
Oh, yeah.
And Leo Martin made sure I knew that that's all we were there for. And it made me laugh in about 2 minutes. But, I think that's a good idea. I mean, we want to appoint a couple people to, you know, to work with us. If we have any volunteers, we'll more than gladly take them.
But, all right. Let me investigate how to come up with a committee to come up with some ideas.
I'd rather do it this way than just jump into something and send it back to you guys and back and forth.
I agree that we should have a motion or whatever to not proceed with any enforcement or a penalty on this thing, but I'd be careful how you word it so you know if we just kind of give a blanket, hey, that's okay, just keep doing what you're doing, or are we opening ourselves up to a free-for-all of feather flags until we get this figured out?
Well, I think, and I don't want to step on anybody toes on this, but I think basically that just left the government, let the people inside this office to handle that. Not let this commission get involved in it as much. You know what I mean? Let it kind of go with the status quo, and if something comes up, you can deal with it by case by case basis at this point. Hopefully, it's going to calm down. You know.
Well, what we can do, I mean, right now we have standing violations for, like I said, approximately 12 businesses. Don't quote me on that. And what the commissioners did when Mr. Lascaris talked to them was delayed enforcement until they could go through the process. You're just continuing that delay because the process is going to be broader than just his recommendation.
That okay? That's okay with the 12 violations.
Yeah, the 12 violations would not. There were not any other violations that were filed.
That's pretty good.
I always feel like I'm right in the middle of something, but let me just give you a for instance. At Monkey Business, we have all with the flags, and we're one of those businesses because we hadn't yet put up permanent signage. and I got the violation notice, thought it was only sent to us, and I'm driving around and seeing, you know, everything else out there. But I've delayed just a little bit the permanent signage. Now I want to delay it more because do I want to get the permanent signage made whenever you're going to change the signage regulations, I'm going to make it wrong. So I think
that reasonable, Chad, to let that.
Right, that's why we need to look at the whole thing.
I'm asking, you guys have to enforce it.
Well, I don't know how, if somebody comes in for a sign permit,
we have to go by what's in the ordinance right now.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying, that if I put those in, I've already, if and according to the ordinance, we already know what sizes are allowed where, but that may change, and so I don't want to make all those signs and then have the rules change.
Right. Well, we need to get out there that we are looking at redoing this, and it'll probably will have to if we need to do volunteers for a committee. If we do that rather than appoint. So once it's out there, I'm sure everybody wants to delay until they know what, that you don't want to redo your sign. It just doesn't make sense.
Any other comments?
Are you gonna have a timetable for some sort of result? You gonna have a draft?
Yeah, at this point I can't. Guesstimate. Well, no, we can't have a draft if we're going to do a committee to get input. So we can't rush it along that quickly.
I'm just thinking of the gentleman in the back. He has to put a sign up now.
Right.
But really, something needs to be done. Can he do something? I mean, he's in a
not,
low-lying
not
area.
Not what he
now.
Wants to do.
Yeah, he's in a low-lying area now. Signage is important to a business. What can he
do now? The only thing you can say is whatever the existing regulations are, whether you like them or not, that's what you can do now. Right? I mean, that's what
right.
You just said.
Right. But we would hope, if we push this thing along, hopefully by next summer, we can have something
done. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do.
I hope.
But he needs to do something.
It's like a lot.
Yeah, it is.
I hope not, but you know.
I think we should try to get this done in 4 to 6 months or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
worst
certainly
case.
Before next lake
before
season.
Before next spring, whatever.
No, I think everybody just, if we're going to put the committee together, the committee needs to get to work and get it done. And come up and look at it. And I think that can be done.
All right. Yeah, we can certainly get a committee together in the next month. Okay, I'll start working on getting a committee and stay in contact and let everyone know. But yeah, there needs to be a motion on the standing.
The standing violations that we have, existing standing violations right now.
For the temporary flags, for the temporary signs.
Yeah, whatever the violations are.
Postponed.
Until our law takes to come up with the advisory.
Well, it took 10 years for it to come back up again.
Things changed in 10 years.
Yeah.
Do we have a second on that one?
Anything else?
Do we have a second on his motion?
We need a second. I'll second it.
Okay. Got a second. Further discussion? All in favor? All opposed? So moved.
Okay. All right.
That is for Chad, anything else? Bruce, Bill, Kelly, Tim. All right, next meeting to be here. We have our public hearing or the
open house.
Get together on the 10th, which is Monday at 4 to 7 at the college. And then our next meeting here is what, October 3rd? Is that what it is?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, folks, for coming.